Welcome, everybody, to the Contact Center Perspectives podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, your host. We have a very special guest here today. We have Patrick Martin from Coveo. And Patrick, you're the EVP of customer experience. The buck stops with you on the experience that is created for this company. What we're going to talk about today is creating the frictionless customer experience. But we're going to start out by talking about why do we want to focus on one experience that no matter where the customer interacts with us, they're getting a very consistent experience from our brands. Why is that important? Why is that something we should be thinking about and prioritizing as one of the biggest priorities of the company? Because it impacts the bottom line. But if you could, maybe start out by just explaining a little bit more about your background and what you're doing at Coveo.
It's definitely a topic that I'm passionate about, which is probably why I spent the last 25 years in services, mostly in support. And that's pretty much what got me at Coveo. My role at Coveo as the EVP of Global Customer Experience first is responsible for all the post-sales motions, customer success, professional services, tech support. But we also have a customer experience team that actually owns our own customer experience around digital engagements and accents, kind of the customer experience police within the company to make sure that everybody thinks about the customer experience, whatever it is that we do. That's my role. Prior to doing that at Coveo, I was actually leading the support organization, which is where I spent the majority of my time in support. Started off in 1999 in a small little company because I was the only person speaking English to do support while the only support person was on vacation. And I went there for 3 weeks and I never left. And I built a career doing support in different company sizes, different industries. And it's been a fun ride so far. And I really discovered this passion for the customer experience, which is probably what kept me here for so long.
I could definitely tell. And from our prior conversations, your passion here. Tell us why this is an important subject. This has far-reaching impact on the performance of the company overall. And ultimately, we're in business to make money, but we're in business to help. What we're talking about, the customer experience, why is it so important directly tied to the overall performance of the company?
That's a good question. There's starting to be much more data points that we can rely on to prove why we need to focus on this. And I'll just quote a study from PwC that dates from maybe 2 years ago around the customer experience. It's their Future of the Customer Experience report. And in there, they mentioned that 32% of customers will leave a brand after one bad experience. And even if they love the brand, 59% will completely abandon it after two bad experiences. Now, it's not for us as companies or suppliers to define what a good experience is and what a bad experience. It's for our customers to define that. And if we look at how customer expectations has evolved in the last few years, it has really shifted what we see. And we can thank Netflix, Spotify, Amazon, Wayfair, and all these other leaders in that space because they've actually programmed us in a way that we now expect easy, frictionless experiences. We expect companies to know us as consumers. When's the last time you searched on Netflix? How easy is it for you to return something on Amazon? It might be a little too easy. You don't have to speak to anybody. It's just like really automated. You get all these recommendations and you feel that it's personalized to you. And we've seen that shift from what consumers expect carry over to the B2B world. If you're not doing that, you will struggle because when we think about what truly differentiates a company from another or from their competitors, is going to be that experience. You can have services or feature functionalities if you're in tech or products that will differentiate you once you go to market because you're going to be first to market with that. But your competitors are going to catch up within 6, 12, 18 months. They're going to offer the same thing that you do. So how do you continue differentiating? If you really want to have that differentiated factor, it's all going to be about the experience. And there is a cost to not delivering these experiences that customers are expecting today. It'll take a little study, but it's not directly tied to the customer experience, but it's about the candidate experience. And Virgin Mobile did a study around the impact of a negative candidate experience because their candidates that they were hiring to work for their company could be customers. Their friends and family could be customers. And if they didn't have a great experience, even if they were not hired, they would not feel great about the brand. They would not want to be customers, and they certainly wouldn't want their friends and families to be customers either because they weren't treated correctly. And the study that they did actually showed them that a negative candidate experience would cost them $1.4 billion a year. If you translate that over to a customer experience and the importance of it for your company, there's definitely a cost to not having those amazing customer experiences that they expect today.
That blows you away, the impact of this PwC study and that story. Could you tell us what your definition of a frictionless customer experience is? As we start then getting in talking about how do we create that in our companies, but what would your definition of that be?
I think it would be something in terms of an experience that regardless of where I am in my journey or my maturity with your company, it should be intuitive enough. I shouldn't have to waste a lot of time trying to find what I need. And if you as a company know that the best channel for me to get my question resolved or my issue resolved is to go the assisted route, don't have me jump through self-service hoops. Just route me to the right person that can get my problem resolved as quickly as possible. And if it is self-service, what's the information that I need to resolve this quickly? And in today's world, with all the technology out there, we have enough data points to be able to do that and really guide the customer through that resolution journey.
If we're listening and we're hearing and we're saying, absolutely, shoot, I'm not there. I'm like, I do not have, and I'm not overseeing a frictionless customer experience in my organization. How do you start? This can seem a very daunting task. If there's different departments and owners of different aspects of the customer experience and different training methodologies and tone of voice, and you go on. How do we think about starting something like this?
That's another very good question. And I think we have to take a few steps back to answer the question, that we have to understand how we got to where we are today. I've been in this domain long enough that when I started doing support, it was pretty easy in terms of experience. You had one channel and it was the phone. If you needed help, you called the company that you needed help from and you'd answer the phone. But through time, with the coming of the internet and email, we started to move this experience and leverage the digital aspect of things. And we came up and we says, okay, we have our online help site, or we have that within our app or our product. We have our product documentation site, which is managed by our product team or our documentation team. Now support portals came up with knowledge-based software, and now we have a support portal. Chatbots came to the world, and now we have a chatbot. When you look at the diversity of self-service channels or digital properties that we use today, a lot of them are owned by different departments, as you mentioned. A lot of them use different sources of content, like my online help will just use a certain aspect. Product documentation is something. My support portal will only have knowledge articles. If I walk through this experience, I'm going to start with the online help, then I'm going to go to the product documentation site. Finally, I won't find what I need. I might try the chatbot, or I might go to the support site, look at the knowledge articles, to finally talk to an agent or send an email or submit a case and have the agent ask me questions that I'll have to repeat my entire story all over again because they have no insight into what I've done earlier in the journey. All that to say, where do I start? You have to identify who owns every single one of these different repositories or every single pieces of that journey and say, okay, how do we get everybody in a room and start talking about removing the friction? This is a very siloed, disjointed customer experience. If we want to have this connected, unified experience, how do we go about it? And do we have someone like a chief customer officer at a company who could be that executive sponsor and be the owner of that overall experience so that we don't continue to have these siloed journeys? And with the coming of generative AI out there, some companies that we work with have the reflex of saying, oh, this is going to be a new channel, which is going to be working exactly the same way as all the other channels, instead of thinking, wait, this is a great opportunity for us to bring all this together and really have one experience that's going to be fueled by Gen AI. There's a great opportunity right now with the technology, but you got to start by bringing everybody in the same room. This is not one department who's going to solve it all, because it's all owned by different people.
The talk of the town in customer experience is AI and what's going to do for self-service and how can that improve the customer experience. What is your opinion on AI versus live agents and the role? Is AI going to at some point do away with live agents? Does Are live agents, do they have a role? They're here to stay. How is that dynamic changing?
That's interesting because I think you have people who sit on both sides of the spectrum. So we've read a lot of articles, especially early on last year, about this time of year, that ChatGPT was the end of live agents and it would be able to handle everything. We're a year into this journey now. A lot of what we're seeing is that, first off, ChatGPT is not going to solve the world's problems in terms of self-service. You have to think it through much more, but there will be this evolution of support. Like in the tech world, a lot of support organizations use a tiered model. You go through level one, who in theory is there to handle all the easy known issues or repetitive things. And then if they can't resolve, they escalate to tier two. Then now you start talking to more technical folks. And if they can't resolve, they're going to go to tier three, which sometimes is going to be a sustaining engineering group and things like that. Issues are going to go from one tier to another. You have the single tier support where there's just one tier, but they work collaboratively through intelligent swarming and things like that. Versus the financial world is mostly departmental. So we all know when we call our financial institutions, we hit a department and finally they transfer us to another department and they transfer us to another department. You might get someone who can actually help. It's a great opportunity for us is bringing all this together, which I talked about all the different repositories that we have. If you have the right technology that's able to identify where the answers reside and where the information, regardless, you might have a bit of a product documentation. You might have a bit of a knowledge article that's relevant to this person's problem. You even have a blog post that might help. And then you generate one answer with that and you can make it conversational. I think that's going to take care of all the easy, repetitive stuff that's documented, which means the impact on level one through time, if you're in a tiered model, is probably going to be significant, because what you should see coming into your call center or your support organization is going to be more unknown. Your new versus known ratio is probably going to flip. It's going to be interesting to see how that works. But agents, if you ask me, are here to stay, because there will always be bugs. There will always be situations that you're going to want to talk to someone. If I just saw that my credit card was stolen, I don't want to self-serve on that. Yes, I can block it on my app, but I probably want to see if there was fraudulent transactions and I want to talk to someone to make sure that they're going to be deleted from my account. There are some things that you might not necessarily want to self-serve. I do think that the agents are going to stay, but their role is going to evolve, because AI is only as good as the information you feed it. We've been talking about garbage in, garbage out for years in terms of data and business intelligence and all of that. When we think about generative AI, the garbage in, garbage out statement takes all its meaning, because if I don't have the right documentation, if it's not factual, if it's not up to date, if I can't use the most relevant information for that user and personalized information, I'm just going to generate incorrect information, which is not going to help the customer experience at all. The agents, to me, I think are going to transfer more into knowledge workers and take the things that are coming in and identify the gaps and say, oh, we weren't able to answer this question, but we know the answer. Why is that? Where should the answer reside in terms of documentation so that we can add it? So that the next time that a customer asks the question, the information will be there and we'll be able to, which would be self-serve, if the person wants to be self-served, of course. I think our business models, our operation models, and the work of the agents is going to transform the next few years because of AI, but I don't think it's going to go away.
The agents need to be able to handle those tougher questions.
We'll go back to this frictionless customer experience. We'll take something. Let's say I'm using a SaaS application. So I'm in my product, I'm doing XYZ. Let's say I'm trying to create a report here and I get an error. I could click on help button within the product and I would get a kind of conversational experience, not a chat bot, but a conversational experience that's going to help me and say, oh, you are in this part of the application. I already know what you're doing. I already know that you need help, or you got error 403 or whatever. You got a 403 error. I can already give you some information on that. I say you got missed. Make it conversational through generative experience. And if you can't resolve right away, you can just like transfer to a live chat agent. And now the agent would receive the transcript of what you've done with the Gen AI. I made all receive what you clicked in the application. So they can pick up the conversation where it left off from your self-service experience. Just say, okay, I see what you did from a self-service standpoint. I can pick it up from there and troubleshoot. I see what you've done in a SaaS application because we track everything that happens. If you think about it from a customer experience, I didn't have to call. I didn't have to do anything. I'm transferred to a live agent who can take control of my screen, guide me through it, and everything has been transparent. I did not even have to leave my SaaS application. I didn't have to go to Google. I didn't have to go to a self-service site. I didn't have to submit a case. It's just like all this is done in the background. It is easy. It's frictionless. Projecting myself in time, but if you think about it, that's what we should be thinking about when we think about the customer experience is how can we do that in our mobile apps, in our web apps, in our SaaS applications? How can we capture all this and make it prescriptive, make it transparent, automate the process? Because GenAI is going to allow you to do all of that if you do it right.
You talked earlier about that it's the customer that defines the experience, but it's the company that has to deliver the experience. And if ultimately it is one experience, but there is going to be different departments that are still involved, how do you get people involved in understanding the customer experience when they may only have a departmental view of the overall customer experience, or they're actually not the user? How do you get an experience that matches what the customers want across departments, frictionless? How do you start to even think about that?
That's always a good challenge because you have to show them what's in it for them. You have to convince the leaders as to what's in it for them to you to jump into this customer experience bandwagon. And I think there's different ways to do it, but the best way is going to be data-driven. I'll take an example here. At Coveo, when I joined the support organization 5.5 years ago, the support organization didn't really have a good working relationship with R&D. Yes, we transferred things when there were bugs and things like that. It was a little bit a rocky relationship, and support say they're not fixing anything that's going to reduce our case numbers and they don't understand the customer side of things. And I said, okay, you know what? We're going to take a data-driven approach. We're going to build these indexes that are going to help us understand where the friction points are, where the customers are struggling. And then we're going to put in money. We're going to put a dollar amount on it on what it's costing the company and R&D to fix these. We're going to go to R&D with recommendations on saying, hey, if we make this part of the product more intuitive, if we make this part of the product more robust, you won't have to deal with these things anymore, which means you're going to be saving X amount of dollars, which means instead of doing maintenance and bug fixes, you'll be able to take those resources and drive innovation. It's switching it and saying, what's in it for you? When we think about it from a customer experience standpoint, it's the same thing. If you own part of the digital engagement program and you have to do a lot of maintenance and this and that, what if we took that digital property away from you where you don't have to manage the UI, you don't have to manage anything, you don't have to worry about that? We're going to bring all of this into our support portal or community. You just have to focus on the content because it doesn't matter where the content lives because we're going to bring this into a unified index and the customer is going to be able to search from it in that central repository. All you need to focus on is the quality of your documentation. You don't have to worry about the UI of the experience anymore. Take that off your shoulders. We'll own it. It's thinking about it innovatively and says, hey, what's in there for you?
I think it was our previous conversation. You said one of the big things about a customer experience is that they don't want to waste their time. And what you just described there is the other departments, what's their experience? How do you create an experience for them where they're not wasting time? They get to do the things that they really want to be doing in the proactive things. Nobody wants to be doing bug fixes all the time. You're applying a bit of customer experience, knowledge, and wisdom onto the internal departments. That's what I took away from that. You talked before about an efficient channel guidance experience, like the future of efficient channel guidance. What did you mean by that? And why should we be talking about it?
That's something that I don't think we're there yet, but I think if we need to paint the destination, from my perspective, this is what we should be thinking about. And what I mean by that is if a customer comes to a digital property that you have with a certain intent and they start to navigate your content or engage with your content in a way that you can quickly understand the intent and what they have, you should know through your resolution data, your behavioral data, how people engage with your content, when they go to assisted, when they don't go to assisted, which channel they use. You should be able to leverage all this information and really guide the customer to the most efficient channel to resolve their issue. Let's say you're a hardware company and someone comes to your site and says, I'll just take an example. You build mouses. and someone comes to your site and says, my mouse, it's broken. You don't have a digital workflow to manage RMAs and things like that because you want to ask questions. You shouldn't even have them go through self-service. You should say, hey, click this button and we'll get an agent to help you right away, because we know that the most efficient way to get this done is through the assisted channel. Versus if the question is, I don't have power on my mouse anymore, chances are battery's dead, or you didn't charge it if it's an internal battery and things like that, you might want to bring them through that self-service channel by guiding them through the right steps to do it. It's with a generative answer, with pictures, with whatever. It might be a very easy example, but when we talk about guided resolution, it's leveraging your data and saying, what's the most efficient channel, regardless of whether it's self-service or assisted, to solve this? And how can I get my customer to that point as quickly as possible, so that we can resolve their issue as fast as they expect us to? Because you have, or you will have, that data. I talked a little bit about the history of how we built these self-service experiences versus assisted. And I think it comes from our on-prem legacy, where when we were on-premise, especially in the tech space, we didn't own the asset. It was easier to say, you know what? You bought the laptop. It's your problem. We can help you with these online resources, but we don't want to talk to you. Go see your reseller. Go see whoever. People say, you know what? I bought a, whether it's Dell, HP, Lenovo, Apple, whatever. You never have access to these companies. If like I have a MacBook Pro, I have to go to the Apple store to the Genius Bar if I have a problem. I can't call Apple directly, or I can't call Dell. I can't call Microsoft if it's a Windows problem. I have to self-serve. Now in the SaaS world, as companies or as technology suppliers, we own the assets. The customer doesn't own the asset. It's the same thing as buying a car versus renting a car. You know that if you rent the car, if you don't have good service after your lease, just bring the car back, here are your keys, and I'm going to go to the other dealership and I'm going to do the same thing over there because I don't want to be left with this asset. It's the same thing. So you have to change how you think about service, which is we own the asset. We want you to renew. We want you to grow your business with us. We need to take care of you. We need to take care of you in the best way possible. And I think the guided resolution should be our destination. It should be like, okay, our customer has this problem. We know that live chat is the best way to resolve it. Let's guide them to live chat.
This guided experience in the SaaS world, we also know that if we fix something for an issue that's coming in, that's going to be fixing it for 100, 1,000 people down the line that aren't going to have that experience. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to ask you a little bit about, in the world of customer experience, I think over 70% of companies that are outsourcing, the customer experience isn't always self-contained within the organization itself in employed agents and things like that. How do you think about a seamless, frictionless customer experience when so many companies are outsourcing for all the right reasons, but how do you maintain that frictionless customer experience in that kind of an environment?
That's definitely a challenge. And I think that if you're going to outsource, you want first to have a very robust onboarding program for the resources that you are outsourcing, because they're an extension of your brand. You want them to be representative of your brand. You want them to share the values. You want them to have the same beliefs so that when they're talking to customers, the customers have a feeling that they're talking to your company or that they're interacting with your company. I think that's the first thing. The other aspect is system integration. If the outsourcer or the outsourcing company is not using the same systems as you are, you need to have a very tight integration point with them. I'll go back to connecting the self-service journey to the assisted journey. If you're capturing all this information in your system that you're using for self-service or Insight Engine or CRM or CDP, if that information doesn't carry over to your outsourcer, how can they pick up the conversation where they left off? It will continue to be a disjointed journey. You need to think about all of that. In an ideal world, they would be using the exact same systems as your in-house folks are using. A lot of people are going to outsource to tier one, and they're going to keep tier two, tier three in-house. If you're not using the same ticketing system, if you're not using the same live chat systems, it just adds a lot of complexity. And that's where customers might have the feeling that they're talking to two different companies. And you don't want that. You got to figure out a way to make it work through system integrations, through training, through onboarding, through even shadowing sometimes. And you might want to have these outsourced resources sitting in one of your offices because they're going to interact with R&D, they're going to interact with customer success, they're going to interact with PS and all the other people that are part of your company that are not outsourced. There's different ways of thinking about it to make sure or to at least put all the chances on your side that customers are not going to feel that they're talking to different companies.
That's a good way to think about it is from the customer's perspective, they should never know.
They should just feel like the exact same experience.
Needs to be transparent.
And you know what? If you are outsourcing to these low-cost locations, and it might sound weird that I say that, but don't have them call themselves John and Sophie and just let them be themselves because customers can see through it.
This conversation about creating the frictionless customer experience, is there anything that we've left on the table that we haven't talked about that's important?
Not really. I think we talked about a lot of concepts, a lot of important things, but I think what I'll probably share is maybe a recommendation is don't try and boil the ocean when you're going through this digital transformation for your customer experience. Is like start small. Start with maybe one business unit and work with a subgroup of your customers and say, hey, you know what? We're changing this. We want you to be a part of it. And we want you to give feedback. We want you to help us build this. And as you're going down that path and you're getting feedback and you feel more comfortable about where you are, then you extend it, then you do another round of feedback with customers until you get to a point where you feel very confident that you can roll this out to all your business units and all your customers can experience that. And keep your customers engaged, get feedback, find a way to get them to tell you how they feel about the experience, what they'd like to see, what they think is missing. If any of you guys have user groups or customer conferences or whatnot, dedicate some time to your customer experience. Bring your customers into the mix and say, we want to hear from you. How easy is it for you to do business with us? What are the pain points? What frustrates you from our experience? And keep them engaged and make them part of the conversation because we can imagine best customer experience according to us because we're going to try and fix business problems. We're going to say, oh, we have this problem internally. We're going to fix it that way. But you might not be fixing a customer problem. You want to try to attack both fronts. But if you're not engaging your customers in the discussion, it's going to continue to be a business decision and how it benefits us first instead of benefiting the customer first. Put the customer first, make them part of the discussion and try to solve that customer problem first and see how it benefits the business afterwards.
I love it. And I loved your recommendation about taking on one department at a time. I can imagine that if you do a good job with that, the experience that one department had in coming together and creating this frictionless customer experience, that is meaningful for the next department that you're going to go to and the next department you're going to go to, right? And how important that process was. And if you make it easy and frictionless to work together, because you're constantly selling internally the program and what you're trying to do.
And if you achieve it, your customers will stick with you because that's going to be your key differentiator. It's your experience and the people who interact with your customers.
Patrick, thank you so much for coming on today. And if people had follow-up questions, would it be appropriate to give a link to your LinkedIn profile for them to get a hold of you?
Sure, definitely. Always happy to talk to people who are as passionate as I am with the customer experience.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing. And we really appreciate it.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.